Business on Hot 1027 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.
A decision by the US government to suspend foreign aid, including critical climate finance, is raising significant concern, and understandably, I guess, about the future of climate change initiatives across the continent. Given that Africa is disproportionately affected by climate change, these funding cuts could pose substantial setbacks. And I want to explore that in a little more detail. I'm in conversation now with Dr. Okito Wedi, co-founder and chief executive officer of Creative Development, to discuss the potential impacts of these funding reductions and the importance of African-led climate solutions. Dr. Wedi, a very warm welcome to you. So considering Africa's vulnerability to climate change, do you have a view on what the immediate and long-term consequences of these funding cuts are going to be?
Absolutely. I think the funding cuts in the immediate and both long term are going to be massive. In the immediacy, what we'll be seeing is vulnerable communities that rely on these funds for their basic needs like food, clean water, disaster relief. That's going to be dried up, exacerbating an already extenuous situation for many of these communities. In the long term, what this will mean is essentially fewer resources to prepare for these extreme weather events such as floods and droughts, which we have seen more increasingly in the recent years, making vulnerable communities even more vulnerable. I think something that I think is particularly of concern for me as we look into the future is the bad signal that this sends to other high-emitting wealthy countries around, you know, essentially stepping back from their commitments, right, leaving poorer nations to struggle on their own. And what does accountability look like within this multilateral mechanism that we've agreed on as a global community? So massive impacts on both fronts.
Do you think there might have been a little inertia here as far as risk planning is concerned, and perhaps many of these programs and countries for that matter not working out what would happen if funding were to be cut?
I absolutely do. I am still a little bit surprised myself, to be completely honest, at the shock these programs, communities, and countries are seemingly faced with, as if we didn't know the kind of administration that would be taking place and what that might have meant for how their programs would run, disruptions in funds. These are not secrets, right? So I definitely do, but I think on the other hand, what it does do is it gives us a clear wake-up call, right, around what self-reliance needs to start looking like, that we cannot solely depend on external finance and external help. We need to start looking for alternative sources in the ways we think about how we're going to resource our work and the sustainability and longevity of the work that we do on the African continent. But I absolutely do believe that on many's part, there was an inertia and a kind of wait-and-see posture that many organizations took, which I just think is surprising.
In terms of that self-reliance that you talk about, it is also going to be difficult for African countries at this point to start diversifying their sources of climate finance and looking for alternative funding mechanisms.
Absolutely, it will be. But again, there are a number of current initiatives that are already in play that I think right now the opportunity, particularly with, you know, South Africa taking over as president of the G20, the role of the African Union mechanism, such as the African Common Free Trade Agreement, I think the priority right now is to invest and scale on initiatives that we already have in place to encourage more public-private partnerships, to encourage big business, African businesses, startups to get in the game, right? Again, I think this narrative that Africa is this sort of sitting duck is a false one, but I do think a much more effort needs to be made around the initiative that we already have in place, that we really need buy-in, that we'll really need investment, and we need to go out there and make it happen. Obviously, I think the shock is with many of these policy shifts having happened in the kind of immediacy with the impact that it's had in such a short term. It has left the global community, particularly Africa, reeling. But again, what choice do we have?
Right? I'm interested to know what your views are then on scalability and partnerships, given that it's probably easier said than done. How does the continent make a compelling case, given that there are so many diverse and competing agendas?
Absolutely. I think that's a great question. One, so at least with creative development, we're in the narrative shifting game. I think, one, there is a role of just, you know, shifting a narrative around, you know, opportunities within Africa as a global leader, as we think about, you know, its renewable energy potential, its youth populations, its the potential around innovation, around and climate adaptation. I think there is a piece of work that needs to be done around the story that we're telling about Africa. Which I know you do a lot of work around. And then, yes, thinking beyond just the U.S. in terms of partnership, right? Are we looking to strengthen, are we looking to secure fair trade deals and strengthen relationships with the EU, with the China, with India, with Gulf states, right? Are we looking at non-state actors? Are we thinking about private sector in the way that it should be in terms of opportunities to scale and invest on these initiatives? And are we thinking about how we are going to actively strengthen regional cooperation, right, to be able to ensure trade and the transfer of goods and technologies across borders? I think there's a significant piece that needs to be done around that regional strengthening piece, and this essentially needing to come to the fore in this particular time.
A lot of food for thought, and by all accounts, an enormous amount of work to be done. Dr. Okito Weddy, thank you very much indeed, co-founder, chief executive officer of Creative Development.
Heart Business on Heart 1027 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.